Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and get started in very last verse in the Gospel of John. One of these verses that has always amazed me as I've just really stopped to think about it. But John concludes his whole Gospel by saying this, verse 25. He says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. The Amplified said, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did. If they should all be recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain, have room for the books that would be written." Wow. And you know, you stop to think about it, we are really in the New Testament given some high points. We see him healing some blind eyes here and there and making a lame person walk and whatnot. But there are references throughout the scriptures where multitudes came to him and everyone was healed. You know, that's pretty amazing. I mean, thousands of people would come and he'd heal everyone. And as I think about this particular passage of scripture, you just got to realize that in those multitudes, there are individual stories, people. We don't know all the specifics. And that's what John was saying. Man, if we really went into detail about everything that Jesus really did, you know, if you could envision in your mind, it would be a huge, huge Library of Congress type thing where you just, all the books could hardly contain everything that Jesus did. If you look at every single person, every single life that he touched. And that is a beautiful picture to hold in your mind and to think about. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the people, all the lives that he touched. So if you could just think about that, I mean, all these storybooks of people's individual lives and Jesus ministering to them, and kind of hold that thought in your mind as we look at another verse that's in the same Gospel of John. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father in heaven." Message says the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. Wow. That library just got bigger. When we think of the amazing stories of people being touched, ministered to by the power of God. John said the world could hardly contain what Jesus did. And then Jesus said, "Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. When I go to the Father, he who believes on me, even greater works than these are you going to do." So in other words, it didn't just stop with the ministry of Jesus Christ. It didn't just stop at verse 25 here. It goes on into the book of Acts, and we begin to see some amazing, amazing, continued amazing stories of people that are touched and ministered to by the power of God. You know, when I think of Door County this time of year and, visiting, you know, people visiting and getting away for that kind of annual pilgrimage and just enjoying the beauty of Door County, I kind of think, too, of, you know, as a family, we kind of did the same type of thing. And it seemed like, you know, invariably we'd be there and kind of having our little getaway, and we'd be sitting around the fire, and you know, you'd start telling stories. And for some reason, you know, I had an older brother. I don't know if any of you out there have older brothers, but you know, we'd kind of get off into some ghost stories. All right, and one of the things, I guess, the creature, you know, in our upper, this was in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. That's where our annual pilgrimage was when I was growing up. And my brother created this creature called the Oopsiclavis, all right? And me and my little brother Will would just be wide-eyed as he'd tell us stories about the Oopsa clavis that just resided in Rice Lake and lurked around the waters that we fished, you know. And it was one of those things that big brothers do sometimes if they've got a couple little brothers in a captive audience. But, you know, I just remember listening to some of those stories and going, wow, and me and Will would just be wondering, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, he'd throw a rock in the woods and, oh, what, did you hear that? You know, it's like, oh, man. And it's amazing how you kind of get doing that stuff and it will create an atmosphere, you know. And all of a sudden, pretty soon, you're just looking over your shoulder for every little thing, you know. And just kind of, it'll, you know, just wondering if that was, did you see what you thought you saw, things like that. But, you know, you think about that kind of stuff and you think about some of those things looking back on. Those were, you know, made up stories, ghost stories, whatever. But this morning, I'll just go to the title of my message. It's simply called Holy Ghost Stories, all right? Ghost stories are made up to produce fear. Holy Ghost stories are true stories that produce faith and, you know, amazing, you know, vision and expectancy. You know, even Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, hey, go back in the Old Testament, look at some of those stories. Those are written for our example, admonitions. Stories are a good thing to look at and be inspired by and to realize, yeah, it's a story and it happened to that person at that time, but within that story there are principles, examples, things that I can carry over, you know, into my life. And so this morning we're going to sit around the campfire and we're going to do some Holy Ghost stories. And as we do the Holy Ghost stories this morning, I mean, basically what I'm taking it out of, every Holy Ghost story that you're going to see here this morning is taken out of the book of Acts. And, you know, the book of Acts has been called the Acts of the Apostles, but when you really look closely at the book of Acts, you find out that it really is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working and ministering through the apostles. And this morning we're going to look again at some Holy Ghost stories. I'll tell some of my own Holy Ghost stories. I'll have a few mixed in there. And as I'm doing this, as we're kind of having some story time this morning, I just want you to think about your own life because you have some Holy Ghost stories too. Holy Ghost stories of things that God has done in your life, and they are to inspire you. Sometimes the psalmist, if you look back at some of those psalms, they would just stir themselves up by remembering the things that God had done for them in time past. They would remember his faithfulness. And then they would come to the conclusion that his mercy endures forever. Not just the good old glory days, but these are stories that you remind yourself of, stir yourself up to know that God is with you, he's for you, and he's still working in your life in a powerful way today. So this morning, we're going to look at Holy Ghost stories. I've categorized them. This is not exhaustive. This is really just the beginning. If you've never read the book of Acts, read the book of Acts. It is amazing. It reads like a storybook. It was one of the books that I was surprised when I really read through the New Testament. I just didn't realize the first time how powerful, how important that book of Acts is. It's almost like reading Jesus in the Gospels doing amazing things, but it's his apostles and it's believers working and just flowing just like Jesus did. So the book of Acts, all right, we're gonna reminisce, we're going to go back, we're going to look at some Holy Ghost stories from the book of Acts this morning. And again, categorize them in a few areas. First Holy Ghost story is going to be stories of evangelism, all right? Stories of evangelism. Love this Holy Ghost story. Now, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise, go. Now, Philip was an evangelist. Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody guides me? Then he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Then Philip opened his mouth in beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him, referring to Isaiah. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Wow, this is an amazing Holy Ghost story. You know, why did ultimately this man, did Philip minister to this man? Very simple. The reason why Philip ministered to this man in the first place was because in verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." Philip was already an evangelist. Jesus had already said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel." But the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, "Go, go, join yourself to that chariot." That is Spirit-led evangelism, where the Spirit of God on purpose specifically prompts you to do something. And when I think of that Holy Ghost story, you know, of course he went and he obeyed the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and the man is gloriously saved. But as I think too about that story, I think about my own life, and I think about how God has used me in evangelism. He's, you know, not necessarily, obviously we don't have chariots these days, and so it's, you've got to kind of think about how God prompts you. A lot of times God will prompt me to just pray for somebody. He might prompt me to speak to somebody. He might, you know, there's a lot of different levels of evangelism. I've had it where, I remember just back in high school, there was a guy who just wasn't very popular, all right? You know, you have a caste system a lot of times in high school, unfortunately, where you got people on the top, the populars, and, you know, people at the bottom of the caste system that aren't necessarily as popular. And I just remember sitting next to this guy who was at the lower side of the caste system, unfortunately, and the Lord just saying, "Ed, just be a friend of this guy." And that's all I got from the Holy Spirit. You know, because you think, "I got to win with Jesus." I got it. Just nothing. No, just be a friend. And I remember just being prompted, the Holy Spirit just led me to be a friend to this guy. And all of a sudden, this guy just began to just warm up and open up and praise God. It was just amazing how within about 2 months or so, 2 months though, of just being a friend and hanging out, all of a sudden I had a rapport with him. And he knew that I cared about him and it was sincere. And we just had a certain event that was coming up at church, and I just invited him to come on out. He came on out and he got saved. He received Christ, you know. And a lot of times when you think about evangelism and how do you evangelize and different things like that, so many times the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you as to what to do and how to minister. You may pray for somebody you never talked to. Somebody else may get prompted to join themselves to the chariot and speak to them. And what you did was you just prayed out ahead for them. You know, there are different levels of evangelism that God is going to use and do. You know, I think of the Holy Ghost story in my life in seventh grade. You know, the Lord put it on my seventh grade recreational reading teacher to do a book report on a book called Run, Baby, Run, story of Nikki Cruz. Just felt impressed to do that. Praise God. I was in her class, heard the book report, she just kind of got it right up to like his initiation. And then just left us all hanging. You know, he was a gang member of the Mamas in New York City, you know, a troubled kid, and she just kind of got it right up to that point. And, you know, especially all of us junior high boys just had to read the rest of what was going on. Of course, it comes to tell about his salvation and everything, and it was like, wow, it was just a life-changing book. And it just so happened that Nikki Cruz was coming into town, like, about 2 months later after I read the book. You know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will orchestrate, coordinate different things. And so as you're working on people, you might have projects, people that you love, be patient and just know that God is just dealing with you to do a part, to play a role. Again, you might be able to actually reel a person in and be the person to minister to them. Another person, you might just be praying for them and just believe in God. Lord, just soften their heart. Just draw them, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's a powerful thing when you begin to realize that you are working together with God in this amazing work of evangelism. And here, I think, is one of the powerful verses, too, in verse 39. It said, now, he baptized this guy, and it said, now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. This is like Star Trek stuff, isn't it? Energize. So that the eunuch saw him no more. You know, he was here, and now he's gone. Spirit caught him away. And then he was found at Azotus, you know. So, vaporize, reappear. Spirit caught him away. I don't know all the scientific background of what all that means, but I know the Spirit caught him, made him go. Why did that happen? Why did the Spirit catch him away? Because God needed him. He needed him at Azotus. He needed him there. Isn't that powerful? That's an amazing Holy Ghost story, where the Holy Spirit had him where he needed him. This tells me something. This kind of goes almost to the question, what about those who never hear the gospel? What about evangelizing? What about people? Well, I can tell you this. God, Jesus, is the one who is overseeing the evangelization of this world. Philip didn't decide to go to Azotus. Philip didn't even decide to join himself to that chariot. The Spirit led him to do it. The Spirit caught him away. We see the working of the Holy Spirit orchestrating this evangelism. And sometimes we can kind of feel like, you know, it's all on me. I got to get the world saved. You know what? One body, many members. But we also see that we're not just one body with many members. We see something else, and this is out of the book of Colossians, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And get this, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You know, we're talking about evangelism right now, Holy Ghost stories of evangelism. There's something we've got to understand behind some of these Holy Ghost stories of evangelism. There is a mastermind controlling everything. I don't have to take the pressure on Ed House to get the whole world saved. One body, many members, and there's things that God has ordained me to do as a member of the body. But it's not just a matter of one body with many members. It's one body with many members and a head. I'm not the head of the body. You are not the head of the body. Collectively, we're not the head of the body. Collectively, we're just the body. Jesus is the head of the body. He is Lord. He is calling the shots. He's got eyes. He's got vision that we don't have. And one of the things that I just really realize is, you know what? He is ultimately putting people. You know why people go on mission fields and why people go here and there? Because their Lord leads them to go. It's not just, I'm a benevolent, nice person and I want to help. No. If you have a compulsion to go somewhere and to help, that's the Holy Spirit in you, guiding you, leading you. And here we see, and when it comes to Holy Ghost stories of evangelism, there is someone who is working and ministering to. And so when it kind of gets to, you know, what about, you know, somebody who's never heard? I'll tell you what, Jesus knows and sees everybody. And he is working through people to get people where they need to be. When I look at that story again of Philip, these are some pretty drastic measures, isn't it? There must have been somebody in Azotus that needed the gospel because Jesus supernaturally caught him away by the Spirit and put him there. That's a Holy Ghost story. True story of God. It's a demonstration of the Lordship of Jesus getting people where they need to be. And you know, we almost say it so much, we almost forget what it means. When we say Lord Jesus, Lord means the supreme authority. I have a Lord in my life. It's Jesus Christ. It means he leads me. He guides me. We talked last week about our invisible relationship with Jesus. And the fact that Jesus said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he won't speak on his own. He'll take the things of me and he'll show them to you. So when the Spirit is leading you, that's your Lord Jesus giving instruction through the Holy Spirit for your life. And so I like to just remember when it comes to evangelism, boy, the Lord Jesus is orchestrating it. I'm not worked up. I'm not concerned. I'm not worried about those that haven't heard. The thing that I'm focused on is, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Because ultimately, it's not my job, Ed House's job, to make sure everybody gets reached. That's headship stuff. That's what Jesus does. You know, if I try to presume that role and say, oh, you know, I've got to do something. No, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is going to be leading every member of the body and getting them where they need to be. So my response in my heart, regardless of how I answer the person, in my heart, I'm satisfied knowing that the head of the body, Jesus, the head of the body, he is right there. He sees everything. In fact, Hebrews said, all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He can get so detailed to levels that boggle our mind. That's the one who's orchestrating evangelism in the earth. I trust in his lordship. I trust in his compassion. He's the one who died on the cross for everybody's sin. He's the one who took that punishment. I trust in his ability to minister and to get evangelism throughout the world. What does that mean to me? It means, Lord Jesus, show me my part as a member of this body. What you want me to do, praise God. And I like, here's another one. You know, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns. Prisoners were listening to him. Suddenly, there's a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened. Everyone's chains were loosed. Paul called with a loud voice, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And just another way that we see Holy Ghost stories as far as God, sometimes people will just see the power of God in your life. Think, wow, I want what it is that you got. There's a power, there's a peace, there's a strength. What Jesus calls being a light that will draw people. And so here we see they're just worshiping God. They're doing what they do, worshiping God. Prison is shaken. That jailer knows that his life is over. If they escape, Paul says, don't worry about it. And that jailer says, wow, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now think about it at that point. He is still putting his life on the line. He's putting himself at their mercy. You know, but we see the Holy Spirit drawing him to salvation. These are amazing Holy Ghost stories that you're going to experience in your life, you know, as you're living for God, people being drawn to the God that's on the inside of you. Another area of just Holy Ghost stories of, you know, we could call this prayer and worship. This is another aspect that you are going to see some powerful things in the Word of God and also in your life. When you think about really the New Testament and all these books that the Apostle Paul wrote, you could trace back the Apostle Paul's ministry really to this point, to this Holy Ghost story in Acts chapter 13. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. You know, praise God. This is pretty amazing to think. So, Paul, how did this whole thing start with you? How did you begin your apostleship and pioneering churches? Well, we were just worshiping one day, and the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me. That's a powerful Holy Ghost story. You know, even this morning, as you're just worshiping, like they were, coming together, the Holy Spirit can speak things to your heart. He can begin to give you some go ye's in the privacy of your own communion with him and the Lord. It's powerful. And again, I'm sure we could tell a lot of Holy Ghost stories in this room and be here for many, many, many days, just about how you were just in that place of prayer, just in that place of worship, and all of a sudden, you saw something. You saw something just jumps out at you. And here, these guys, I don't know what form it took, if it was a prophecy or if it was a tongue, an interpretation of tongue, or how that manifested, but the Holy Spirit said. That is a beautiful, powerful Holy Ghost story. So there we see it in the case of direction. Another place where the apostles, they'd just gotten persecuted, you know, for their faith. And then they came together and they said, Lord, look on their threats. This is the apostles praying together. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. But I love, love, love that Holy Ghost story. There is something about coming together in his name. And you see what they prayed. They had some miracles back then, but you know what? They prayed for him, didn't they? They really on purpose asked for miracles and signs and wonders and healing to be done. They came together on purpose. And the reason why you got some of the Holy Ghost healing stories is because you had some Holy Ghost prayer meetings that prayed out ahead and asked God for them. Isn't that profound? I mean, wouldn't you just think, well, of course God wants to already do this. Why would you even have to ask? They asked, and God responded. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That is one of the things that happens, too, in a Holy Ghost story, is you get, there's a boldness that comes on you when you sense the power of the Holy Spirit in you. All of a sudden, the inhibitions of self just get swallowed up. That's why the Apostle Paul said, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What were they? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul likens alcohol drunkenness with Holy Spirit infilling. What do they have in common? They both cause you to lose your inhibitions. There's a drunkenness or an intoxication that can cause you to lose your inhibitions. Don't be drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is a Holy Spirit infilling that will cause you to lose your inhibitions in the same way, but it's different in that it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's what you call boldness. Boldness. All of a sudden, I'm not afraid of what people think anymore. I'm not doing the political math anymore. Why? I tangibly got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm bold, and I know what I believe, and I know why I believe what I believe, and I'm not afraid to say it. It's not an angry chip on my shoulder. It's an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteous purpose of God, but the Holy Spirit-filled person with that boldness does work the power and the anointing and the will of God in the earth. There are Holy Ghost stories where these guys got bold. I mean, there's stories, we're just scratching the surface. Paul, right in the middle of the Sanhedrin and the who's who of the Jewish community of the day, you know, the Bible says they were filled with boldness and looked at them and said, there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than the name of Jesus. Huh. You did the math in the natural, you would never say something like that to that audience. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness, and he lost his inhibitions. Things begin to happen when you get in the presence of God. There's a filling, there's a boldness, and all of a sudden the theology you've always known is true. There's an empowerment to express it and to live it. And that's exciting. These are some really exciting, to me, Holy Ghost stories of how the church was ultimately established. And then this one, this is probably one of my favorite Holy Ghost stories, Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's a powerful story. Remember, the context, they were all gathered together in that upper room. They're worshiping. They're having church up there. And then there was just this presence of God that filled that place. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The reason why this story is so precious to me is because this is my Holy Ghost story, too, of how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember it was the summer of 84. I went to probably every Pentecostal-type church to have hands laid on me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with that. God definitely uses that, and it's a scriptural basis for people to receive. But I don't know if it was my Lutheran upbringing. I just kind of, I didn't quite get it. You know, I was just kind of, Anyway, I'm just by myself. I'm my little, not my upper room, but just my bedroom. And it's just me and just worshiping God and just thanking God for all that he had done in my life and just realizing how much he loved me. And like I said, I don't know, but somewhere the hallelujahs and the praise of the Lord just began to flow another language. But what happened? It was the presence of God. It was, sometimes you get around certain theological issues where they can be hot button issues and your emotions can get in the way. But you get in the presence of God. But they were in the presence of God, worshiping the Lord, green pastures, still waters, and all of a sudden the manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And all of a sudden that made sense to me. I was trying to speak in other tongues before, and I couldn't do it. And I wouldn't fake it, and that's good. Don't fake anything. But it was one of those things where all of a sudden I was in the presence of the Lord, and I sensed the Spirit giving utterance. See, they spoke, they were all filled, they spoke, the Spirit gave utterance, right? The Spirit didn't speak, they spoke, the Spirit gave utterance. They didn't give the utterance, the Spirit gave the utterance, and all of a sudden that clicked. And I'm in the presence of God, and I'm just sensing the compulsion. All of a sudden I have the freedom to just begin to, by faith, speak as the Spirit gave utterance. And it was a flow of a language, and all of a sudden, like, wow, that's what that is. I was trying to have to make it pass through my brain, and all of a sudden it didn't have to anymore, and it was okay. And there was a strengthening, there was a filling, and all of a sudden there was that boldness that came too. That's one of the reasons, one of the ways you wonder, is this the real thing? Is it the real thing? As you begin to pray, you begin to flow in the Holy Spirit, it's the same Spirit. And that's how you know you got the right thing. You know, it's the same Spirit that bore witness when you received forgiveness and experienced the love and the forgiveness the love of God, the forgiveness of sins. You sense the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. And so that's a precious story. That's a Holy Ghost story of how people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were in the presence of God. They were worshiping God, and the Spirit of God fell. Let me encourage you, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues, all right, it's a subsequent experience. It's something that belongs to you. It's available to you. You don't have to speak in tongues. God doesn't love people who speak in tongues any more than people who don't speak in tongues. Forget all the political junk around it. I'm just telling you, for me, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a precious experience that really blessed my life. And as I began to read the scriptures, I began to see where it was there and it belonged to me. In fact, when I had received that gift, it was like, wow. And I began to pray in the Spirit. That happened to me like the next day at school. I'm walking down the halls at school. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm just singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Just hallelujah. And it was just, there was a boldness. And I just couldn't explain it, but that dimension of the Holy Spirit, well, when I was praying in the Spirit, it produced that boldness. And that's what Jesus said. He said, tarry, before this happened in Acts 1, Jesus told the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem, you'll be endued with power to be witnesses. Witnesses, that power gives you boldness to witness. It's not a spiritual credential whereby you think you're better than everybody else. It's been used horribly in some cases. The essence and the power of the Holy Spirit is to empower you, to give you boldness, to be filled, to cast off those inhibitions, to declare your faith and to be a witness in the earth. So, praise God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is another aspect. Jesus said it this way. He said, you worship what you do not. He was talking to the woman at the well. And he said, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we're just talking about, stories, Holy Ghost stories of worship. And this is what happens. You get in that atmosphere of spirit and in truth, Holy Ghost stuff begins to happen. Again, even this morning, how God can minister to your heart in a way. God said some things into your heart right now this morning that are just between you and him. Nobody else knows, nobody else has to know. But those are some precious leadings of the Holy Spirit and things that God works in your heart. But also, just to realize that he is going to give you boldness to do what he's called you to do as you get in his presence. And then finally, I just want to conclude this morning regarding our Holy Ghost stories with stories of direction. Because I think this is where a lot of us are even today, right now. Summertime seems to be a great transition period for many of us, and we're kind of wondering, Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I go? Should I not go? Should I stay? And, you know, it can be one of those things where we're really wanting to hear from God. And there are some fantastic Holy Ghost stories of people that are right there. Where if that's your heart, you're kind of wondering, the Apostle Paul was there on his missionary journeys. All right, you know, when the Apostle Paul went on a missionary journey, he didn't have, he didn't have a trip planner. All right, he didn't kind of see ahead of time. Okay, and you go here. He's just being led by the Holy Spirit where he's going to go on these missionary journeys. All right, and so they kind of get in this inflection point. This is his second missionary journey, and they're kind of wondering, what do we do, Lord? And so Acts 16 starts out, it says, now when they, this is Paul, talking about Paul and his company, had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And in a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he's just, you know, they're just tearing it up. They just want to evangelize the known world. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so they're just following that command. And lo and behold, as they try to go into Asia, we find that the Spirit, it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Isn't that interesting? Is there anything wrong with preaching the word in Asia? I mean, just on the surface. Not at all. Is it scriptural? Yes, it is. But here you begin to find out who the head of the church is. Paul isn't the head of the church. Remember, we talked about this in point number one. There is a head of the church. That's Jesus Christ. And he is telling Paul where he is to go to preach the gospel. And I don't know what this looked like, again, in the natural. You know, they're on their way to Asia, and all of a sudden they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word. It could have been a witness that something wasn't right. Again, it could have been a prophecy. Could have been a tongue interpretation. But some way they knew the Holy Spirit was telling them, don't go any further. Do you know it's possible for you to have some great intentions, some great plans, some great ideas, and begin to go a direction, and all of a sudden the Lord just begins to shut it down? Nothing wrong with it. Noble, great, but it's just not where his plan and grace and anointing is. You know, I like something Kenneth Hagin would say, you know, if when you're kind of going against the grain of the Holy Spirit, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. I've never been quite able to get that analogy out of my head. There's just kind of an unsettling, uncomfortable, you know, I could do this and push it, but there's just something, there's just, it's not right. It's not peace. And so they think, all right, well, I guess for whatever reason, the Lord doesn't want us to go to Asia, so time to go to Bithynia. That must be the place. Pick up their camp, their animals. You know, it's not like they just kind of got in their car and they turned around. This was a lot of work back then. They had to get all their stuff together and begin to go a whole other direction. And they're going that direction, and then the Spirit did not permit them. You know, I don't know if people are getting frustrated with Paul at this point, but I got to tell you something. What you can say about Paul, Paul was honest with the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, and then finally, it said, vision appeared to Paul, come over to Macedonia, come over to Macedonia, help us. They saw the vision, they did it. Now, you can look at this story and think, well, they got it wrong twice, but they got it right at the end. No, they got it right all three times. They stopped when the Holy Spirit said stop twice, and then they went when the Holy Spirit said go. They would have got it wrong if they would have ran the red light. The Holy Spirit isn't down here to give you all green lights. The Holy Spirit isn't down here to say yes to everything you want to do. Thank God the Holy Spirit is down here to forbid you. Thank God the Holy Spirit is down here to give you red lights too. That's ultimately what makes Jesus the Lord of your life. It's very easy to rationalize your feelings and call it God. But it takes a spiritual person to be able to go one direction and stop and say, you know what, this isn't God. That's a spiritual person. That's a humble person. That's a person who's really walking with God. And again, when you're down here, you're going to come across some red lights. Praise God for them. They will keep you because God knows where the bridge is out. You don't. You know, and when you look at this, this is written, you know, this happened in about 52 AD. You know, about 64 AD when the apostle Peter is writing his letter, Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Wow. The apostle Paul, or the apostle Peter, was writing to the saints that were in Asia and Bithynia in 64 AD, 12 years later. Well, they got reached. Praise the Lord. The dispersion, the persecution in Jerusalem that kind of spread people about. There were some other people that God had in store for Asia and Bithynia. It wasn't that he cared about, but God had plans for him to be in Macedonia. Man, Jesus is the head of the church. He is leading, he's guiding, he's orchestrating everybody. Everybody to be where they're supposed to be. And I'm just telling you, with Holy Ghost stories, Paul had some Holy Ghost stories, and you do too. There are going to be some times when, as God's leading you, you're going to get a few red lights. And if God gives you a red light, that's okay. That's fine. Because you know what? You're just going to keep pursuing and pursuing. Ultimately, he will show you. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you the green. He'll give you the go-ahead of where you need to be. Here's another kind of story of direction along those lines. We'll close with this. This is talking about the apostle Paul when he was Saul, before he became the apostle Paul. He was on his way to Damascus. It says, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then he, this is Paul, said, who are you, Lord? Or Saul in this case. The Lord said to him, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So Paul goes into the city, and it says, now in that city there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, Ananias does that. The apostle Paul gets the instruction from Ananias. He gets baptized. He gets baptized in the Spirit. You know, amazing things begin in the apostle Paul's ministry from that point. But you'll notice that the apostle Paul's instruction from Jesus was just that the Lord said, arise, go in the city, you'll be told what you must do. And then what does he do? The Lord tells Ananias to tell Paul what he wants to share with him. And I say this to bring out this as well too, a Holy Ghost story of direction. Sometimes God is going to speak through other people. He'll just say, I want you to do this. You go here. What if Paul had never went into the city? Well, Ananias would have never been able to tell him. Sometimes the Lord is just going to give you a next step. Not the whole plan. Just go here, do this. And he will connect you with people sometimes, and as they will begin to speak into your life, all of a sudden God will bear witness of what they're saying is true. I had this happen. You know, really, one of the reasons why I'm here at Door of Life, you know, today is because of just a conversation that I'd had with one of Julie's uncles. You know, we were just talking, just chatting, and he was excited and just, you know, in the things of the Lord. And he said, hey, Ed, what about this? Because he knew that I was prepared for the ministry and someday I was going to go and start a church or be involved as a pastor. So he said, you know, so Ed, what about this thing? When are you going to be a pastor? When are you going to go out and do this thing? You know, you've been saying it for years. And, you know, and I said, well, you know, I just know the Lord is, you know, preparing us, you know, for a time. And he just looked at me and said, Ed, maybe now is the time. Maybe now is the time. And when he said that, he didn't know. He's just saying what he knows in his heart. But when he said that, the Holy Ghost bore witness with my spirit. That was a God word. Not everybody who comes up to you and says, thus saith the Lord, is right. Do you understand me? You don't have to be led by what everybody says. They think God is telling you. In fact, you have no moral obligation to have to respond to what somebody says is a prophetic word for you other than what bears witness with your spirit and the word of God. All right? So don't get off in weird things like that. But I'm saying the way God worked through Ananias in Paul's life, he still works that way today. And people will come across and they won't even realize many times the significance of what they're saying. And the Holy Spirit will like amplify what they're saying. And whoa, okay, God, I'm glad I came to church today. You know, the Lord just said, go to church this morning. I went to church this morning and all my Ananias was there. And all of a sudden God told me something else. God, those are some powerful Holy Ghost stories. You know, and I just remember, you know, her uncle saying that and go, wow. And all of a sudden, you know, he asked, he said, Ed, would you just, you know, would you be willing to take a ham and egger job to start up a church if you really needed to do that? And I said, oh, yeah, sure I would. That was the right answer. But I knew in my heart that, you know, boy, was I really, how committed? And all of a sudden the Lord just brought me, you know, you really haven't got a resume together. After that conversation that night, he didn't realize it. He didn't know. But God was just speaking through him. And I remember preparing a resume, putting it online, and all of a sudden within just like a week, getting a response from my Bible college saying, you know, ministerial opportunities are online. I looked at it, and the first thing that came up was Door County. It all started from a conversation of somebody just saying, maybe Ed, now's the time. And it was the time, and he was right. It's like, wow, praise God, praise God, praise God. And let me tell you something. At the time, he was really just coming back into fellowship with God. All right? He wasn't like somebody that was an elder, you know, really years. Your child could say something to you, and God can say, that's it. All right? It's not the person or their credentials. It's the Spirit of God speaking. Be listening for his direction through people. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you now. You can't bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll tell you things to come. He'll glorify me. He'll take of what is mine and declare it to you. These Holy Ghost stories are really Jesus Christ stories again. Jesus was on the earth. He was the ambassador for the Father. It's the Father in me. He does the work. I say what I hear him say. I do what I see him do. The Father, the Father, the Father. The Holy Ghost is the ambassador for Jesus in the earth. He is saying what Jesus says. He's doing what Jesus shows him to do. And that's what makes Jesus your Lord. The Holy Ghost isn't in himself. He is working in conjunction with Jesus to minister the truth to you, to your life. Praise God. So Holy Ghost stories. Stories of evangelism, worship, direction. These are stories that, you know, after Jesus did those many works that the books couldn't hold, the apostles just continued him on through. And Jesus said, he who believes. There were Holy Ghost stories back then. There's Holy Ghost stories today. And I know you've probably got several racing around in your head, even during this message, as you're thinking about amazing ways the Holy Ghost has worked in your life. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the powerful, precious Holy Spirit, that we really are not alone. We really are not comfortless. But we have the precious Holy Spirit down here in our hearts, praise God, to be a guide, to lead and guide us into all truth, to be a strength, to strengthen us with might in the inner man, that the love of God has been shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. Father, I just pray for each one here this morning. I pray that each one, first off, would be encouraged by these stories. These things happen to men and women just like us. These things did not happen to cartoon characters. They happened to people like us. The Holy Spirit working together with imperfect people who've been made righteous by the Spirit of God, by the blood of the Lamb, working with our imperfections, working with our insecurities, getting things done in the earth. Thank you, Father God. We are inspired this morning by these precious stories. And may each one, I pray, in turn be touched. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith this morning. If your heart can agree with these words, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for my Holy Ghost stories. You have been with me. Jesus, it always was you. It always is you. It always will be you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for the stories of my life. Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on your name. I've heard the story for years, but today I choose to believe. You died on the cross for my sin. I believe it today. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. I receive that forgiveness now. God raised you from the dead. You are alive today. I believe in you. I will live with you forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.